It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. God bless each one of you. It's good to be here with you. It's Monday, the 7th of August, and it's time for prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together, to be able to open up your word. We thank you for your loving watch here throughout the night. And now we pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ, our King.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
Amen. It's about time, brothers and sisters. Our topic today, I was not going to actually read all of the statutes and judgments prior to Exodus 25, but I was looking at them, and, you know, I think it shows so much of the mercy of God. Of course, all of these don't apply to us necessarily today, but I just felt led to just read them because we need to understand this is a group of slaves. We're about to pray. A group of slaves coming out of Egypt. They've been accustomed to worldliness and evil and debauchery and all of this, and God has to teach them his ways. And you see the fairness and mercy. May not understand everything because there are circumstances in their setting and culture that may not apply to us. But nonetheless, you see who God is through these statutes and judgments. Some of them, our laws are actually based upon. We'll see that in a moment. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Bless us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22. It says, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. You know, brothers and sisters, even in our time today, judges understand that some people might steal just because they're hungry, and they're not trying to hurt anybody. They just are hungry, and they just don't know where to get any food. Nobody's giving them food on the street, so they see something that doesn't belong, look this way, that way. They steal it. It's wrong. But there's a different punishment for them than people who just maliciously go out and try to take something from somebody and destroy it, okay? There's malicious intent, okay? As a matter of fact, in our time, you have assault and you have aggravated assault. You have, in some states, murder and aggravated murder, you know? So the point being made is they got that from the Bible. The Bible is who gave them this concept of looking at the intent of the wrongdoer. If a man steals and then kills that sheep or sells it, I'm just trying to hurt you. I'm not just trying to eat. I'm trying to hurt you and get as much as I can from you. Then he would restore 5-fold, the Bible says. Okay, 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep, rather, for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. In other words, if somebody's breaking in somebody's house and that person is killed in the process, if that person is defending, they wouldn't shed blood for that person breaking in that house. I'm not saying that everything we do today is right or wrong. I think some of our laws could learn a lot from the Bible. But, you know, if somebody's breaking in your house, you know, they have these rules that, okay, you know, if they're breaking in the house, you really can't kill them unless you felt like you were in fear of bodily harm. But how do you really know you're in fear of bodily harm, you know? So anyway, the bottom line is that in the Bible, if that happened, somebody was caught stealing and the person defended, and in that defense, the person who was doing it ended up dying, that there would no blood be shed for that. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. In other words, if you wait until and catch him later, then you're going to be punished if you hurt him, okay? Because he can pay you back and actually restore fourfold, and that's character building for the thief. He'll learn some lessons from that. See, God is merciful. Yeah, he wasn't trying to kill anybody. He was just trying to steal. But if you try to defend him or hurt him or whatever, and he died, then you're going to be punished. Didn't say you would die, but you would be punished for that because he could have made restitution, and he could have made restitution several fold. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Now, remember, if you find it in his hand, he has to give you double. But when he took it and killed it and sold it, that would be malicious intent against you. He had to restore five of one of oxen and four of sheep. So do you see that God is looking at the intent? Okay, you found it in his hand. Maybe he's just hungry. He wanted to eat. He didn't have as much, but he should not steal. He should depend on God. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard. I'm sorry. Let me start again. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten and shall put in his beast and shall feed in another man's field of the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. So I have my fields, my vineyards, but I want to save mine. So I let my cattle eat in yours and from the very best. Even if I didn't get the best of yours, even if mine got the worst of yours, I have to give the best of mine to make restitution. If a fire break out and catch in thorns so that the stacks of corn or the standing corn of the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. So what God is trying to say here is we have to be responsible for what we do. So in that case, in their setting, there was fire. So I am not going to kindle a fire. We live in the country, brothers and sisters, and on a windy day, if it's not been raining, and it's really, really dry, I don't kindle a fire outside. Sometimes there are certain things that we can just burn, and it doesn't hurt anything. But we have a little fire pit outside. So the point being made is that we're responsible for our actions. Oh, it wasn't my fault. They called fire. You know, we should be responsible. It's a windy day. Hadn't been raining for 45 days. Everything's dry, hot, easy to catch fire. That's not the day you burn, okay? If it's not so windy and it's been raining a little bit, I know that if some what they call it, embers get into the next wooded area, it's not going to catch anything on fire. So we are to be responsible for the things in our, you know, in other words, think about you got a tire and it's bald and you know the tire is bald and you have the opportunity, but you know you want to spend the money on a new suit or a new dress, but your tire is bald and that tire blows, that tire could kill, your car could kill somebody. That's being responsible. Same principle. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. That's workable. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. So, you know, a little trial would take place just to see, did you have anything to do with the disappearance of the goods that your neighbor asked you to hold on to? That's fair. Of all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox or for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for manner of lost things, which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. Friends, we ought to do what we're not supposed to do wrong. If you do wrong to somebody, it's not just enough to say, hey, I'm sorry. But that person suffered because of that. They suffered harm because of that. They had mental anxiety because of that. So the principle of restitution is here mentioned in the Bible. And you see it here. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass or an ox or a sheep or any beast to keep, and it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. Things happen. You have heard that phrase, things happen. Sometimes, you know, somebody asks, hey, can you keep this? And you had no control over the fact that some thief was watching your stuff, and when he saw more of his stuff, he took something. You know, he didn't know it was actually your neighbor's. You don't have control over that. Okay, so that principle of just sometimes we just have to let it go. Let it go. It's not that deep. You're not going to some things we get mad about. We hold on. We have grudges. This is the principle that some things we just have to let it go. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. I guess that would be, you know, for some reason, again, we're not fully understanding, because it said if it die or be hurt or driven away, no man seeing, he shall keep an oath. So I guess it's encouraging the person that would take it that he should have security to check, make sure that things are right. And notice that this is not a situation where it was doubled. You just had to make restitution for it. So if you know you can't make restitution, if something was to happen, then you wouldn't take that man's cow or that man's, sheep. You see, if it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness. He shall not make it good that which was torn. You can't have things that you don't, the things you don't have control over. And that principle was brought out in this beautiful thing. So you see here, we're talking about practical godliness, friends. These were lessons that kept people that would have fought each other and killed each other and all that. Now they had rules to live by. They had just come out of Egypt where there was all kinds of evil, and now they had to have government among themselves, and God was teaching the principles of government and how they could get along. You know, sometimes you have to have rules. Rules, however, do not convert people. Martin Luther King said that rules don't create morality, but it can keep a man from being lynched. Okay, so that was wisdom in that statement. You have rules because it does help us understand how we should treat one another. And even if a person has ill intent because they see that others are watching and there's rules there, it keeps them from doing certain things that they might do if there were no rules. If a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. So if I borrow something from you, and then what I borrow from you dies, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. I'm thinking it's the borrower that makes it good. If a man borrow aught of his neighbor and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. So that means if it got hurt and it died, but the owner was right there, he saw everything, no one has to be concerned because it belonged to the owner. He was there. He solved the problem, you know, that kind of thing. If it be an hired thing, it came for his hire. Okay? If a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. You see, brothers and sisters, God takes the act that he intended for marriage seriously, and you would be discouraged from just, quote unquote, having fun, so to speak, if you understood that, oh, I have to marry this woman, you know. And this does not imply that there was forcible, it was just an enticement, okay? But you wouldn't be trying to wine and dine just for your own pleasure, because you would have to marry that person, and you would have the responsibilities of caring for that person and all of those things. All these are powerful principles in the Bible. If her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. And you see, brothers and sisters, the way it works is when you entice somebody, if they yield, you lose respect for them. If you're a woman and you entice a man, even if you want that man, you do lose respect for that man, because what happens is if you entice them, then there's already set up in that relationship jealousy and envy, because you knew he fell for you. You will assume he will fall for another. And so your relationship is cursed from the beginning with jealousy because you use that tactic. Okay. And so these are powerful principles from the Word of God, even from the Old Testament, brothers and sisters. If a man sees that a woman fell for him, that he's going to be jealous, because he'll know that if he fell for me, when I get old and a little bit older and wrinkled or whatever, she'll fall for somebody else. And so then it sets up again that principle of jealousy, policy of principle of jealousy, or principle that when you do that, it causes jealousy and other things. So the bottom line, friends, we're not supposed to be enticing. We're not supposed to be seductive. And people should see us for who we are on the inside, not on the outside. I'm not trying to say you have to marry somebody you're not attracted to. I'm just simply saying you're not supposed to attract them sexually. in order to have them be interested in you. It does not lead to happiness. If her father utterly refused to give him unto her, it says he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. So if you enticed her and the father says, I'm not letting, you're not worthy, I'm not letting my daughter marry you, then you have to pay according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Brothers and sisters, that's a serious statement, but that shows you how God hated witchcraft. Witchcraft is Satanism, okay, disguised Satanism. We should not get involved in the occult. We should not use Ouija boards. We should not go to tarot card readers. We should not listen to the statements of psychics. We should not even use spiritualistic healing methods that come from the occult. Those being, for example, acupuncture and reflexology. Well, they work. The devil has power. But if you came to our class yesterday, you learned that the person who brought that into Western society, his name was Franz Antoine Mesmer, and he used what he called, what they called back then, animal magnetism. He was a physician, and he used electromagnetic current supposedly to heal, and it produced hypnotism. And that's the whole point. When you use these new age modalities, it gives the devil an entrance into your mind, and you wonder why you get depressed, and you wonder why you have anxiety, and you wonder why things aren't going right in your home. And sometimes it's because of who you allow to massage you, okay? I don't go to a Reiki massage therapist because that's where they don't even touch you. The energy flow from their hands goes in. They pull the energy out of your body. They don't even touch you. And people get up from the table, oh, I feel so much better. Yeah, the devil pulled those muscle pains out, but he now replaced the muscle pain with oppression. And you're going to have demon possession and oppression at a later time, my friend. So they did not allow witchcraft, friends. We need to stay away from witchcraft. I'm going to say something to you that you're not going to like, but I have to tell you the truth. Witchcraft is in the music that's in the club. It is tantalizing. It is hypnotic. That's why they play it. And you find that same music now in most churches. That's spiritualism, friends. You go back to see where this stuff came from, and you will see in some of these third world countries, some of those same beats, you know, that they do, and they go into hypnotic trances as part of their worship of their gods. And we brought that stuff over to our countries, and it's now made its way into the churches. That's why people can't see the truth, because you're hypnotized. You're hypnotized, brothers and sisters. That's what it is. You don't see it, but how can you read the truth? It's clear, but you can't see it. It's because you're under a spell. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, Lord, and please understand, you might think I'm talking to Sunday keepers. I'm talking to everybody here. Everybody. We all have things we need to come up higher in, and the Word of God is telling us come up higher. And it is satanic spells that keep us from doing so. Maybe we're dibbling and dabbling in a little pornography. Nobody knows about it, but that's a spell. You know it's wrong. The Bible says, he that looketh on a woman to lust. And now women get involved in that. The same principle, just because it didn't. Some women might say, well, it just said, if you look upon a woman, I'm looking at a man. No. The principle was stated, and it applies to both genders. And it applies to whether you're a man looking at a man, okay, in that way. It's wrong, okay? So we dibble and dabble in things. We know something. That's why the Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God wants to pull us out of these spells, brothers and sisters. We are spellbound. That's why we eat all the wrong foods. Don't drink all the wrong drinks. Don't drink water at all. We're under a spell. Guess what? Temptation is an attempt at hypnosis. Adam and Eve were tempted through hypnosis. Satan was trying to gain control of the mind. So I'm just here to tell you, we see these things from the Bible. God is saying witchcraft, friends, is not of him, and it is involved in more ways than you might think in your life. be careful. You know, we watch movies and stuff where there's ghosts, and we watch stuff that they're talking about somebody who died and comes back as an angel, and that's in the movie. That's all witchcraft, friends, and you're just bringing demons into your house and wonder why you and your husband or your wife can't get along, why your kids are so scattered and strangely addicted to this and that. You got demons in the house, friends. We need to ask God to clean those houses up, and we just need to rededicate our homes to the Lord. All right, let's go past witchcraft. Whoso lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. You see, God is not for sexual perversion in any way, and some people do practice bestiality. God did not have it be such that a man should lie with an animal, okay, or a woman. And I'm here to tell you that these are statements that help keep society clean and help keep our lives pure. He that sacrifices unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall surely, utterly be destroyed. He shall be utterly destroyed. You see, that would just bring blatant witchcraft and evil into the camp. So God had to destroy it. But people would know better. They should know not to. This is the God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. They saw the Red Sea. They knew who God was. So to sacrifice to these false gods of Egypt, what is that saying? Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You see how God required them to be kind to others, even others who were not of their faith? You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Brothers and sisters, I have seen it, and I've been the victim of it, where people who think they have the upper hand actually take advantage of those who are challenged. Sometimes people, it could be widows, fathers, but this is the principle. The person who's the underdog, the person who can't defend himself. You know, a person can start a campaign even against somebody of gossip or whatever, and they know that person, they get a few friends together, and they all, you know, talk about this person, so it just seems like it's real. It just seems like it's so true because so many people are saying the same thing. Oh, my brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this one 100% true. This happened to me. This actually happened to me. And one of the persons who tried to do everything that individual could make sure I had nothing, just totally lose all my resources. That person doesn't have much now. Okay, my circumstances are better. They worked with another family to make it look like I was bad, so they would have witnesses. They were false witnesses. That family is not together. The wife is out in the world, and the husband has had 4 strokes. I had nothing to do with that. I'm not wishing bad on anybody. I'm here to tell you it's in the Bible because I cried out to the Lord. So I know what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. God hears the prayers of the less fortunate. So if you find yourself less fortunate, you need to pray. God will hear you. If your less fortunate situation is the result of people hurting you. Okay. Now, make sure that it's not the result of you not doing what you're responsible to do. Because sometimes people kind of get it wrong. Think that everybody's hurting me and woe is me. And there's something they can do. So we just want to be keeping balance. That's all. God is talking about those who are truly oppressed, widows who can't, they don't have a husband anymore, so they don't have, they're poor, and so somebody oppresses them. You know, you might get them to do something for you and pay them half wages, and they know they don't have any other choice, so they have to eat, but you could have paid them what it was worth. You know, we're not supposed to take somebody selling all their stuff so they can have a home to live in or something they need, and you're trying to get them to pay the least price. You're trying to nickel and dime them, and that's their livelihood. You have the money. You see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? God's not going to bless that. He's not going to bless you. He will bless the widow, the unfortunate one. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. In other words, if there is somebody in a less fortunate position and you lend that person money, you are not to get it back with interest. Okay? You know, these payday loan places and all this kind of stuff, God's people aren't supposed to do that to God's people. If you lend some money, get that money back, praise the Lord. You're not supposed to profit from it and get interest from it. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down, for that is his covering only, and his raiment is for his skins, wherein he shall sleep. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. So in other words, when somebody needs some help and they come to you, sometimes we try to take advantage of the person that needs money. That's what this is talking about, brothers and sisters. Now, let's broaden this. There's many a man that wants a sexual favor because they gave a woman some money. Bottom line, you know I'm telling you the truth. That's what this is condemning, taking advantage of somebody because they need your help. And because they need your help, in this case, if you say, okay, I'll do this, listen, I need some help, I'll bring it back to you tonight. Okay, I'll say, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to take your coat, and I'm going to hold it as a pledge. Well, they need their coat at nighttime to sleep. God said, don't do that, you know, because that you're hurting that person. That's how they sleep. So God was against this oppression of the poor, my brothers and sisters. Thou shalt not revile the God. Now, that is a, from what we're reading, a misprint. You know, when King James hired men to do the King James Version, they took the Hebrew and the Aramaic and all that, and they did the best they could what they understood it was saying. What I'm looking at in my notes, it just says God. Thou shalt not revile God, nor curse the ruler of thy people. That would make more sense. The false gods, you know, I don't think there was a problem being, you know, saying negative things about the false gods. So this was probably not the best translation in the King James. So it actually corrects it in the Strong's Concordance. You see the original Hebrew, and it says it should be interpreted God. In other words, we're not supposed to say negative things about God. Some of you still say a curse word, G-D-A-M-N, G-damn. You know, thou shalt not revile God. Okay? Think about what we say, friends. We need to be more sensitive to our words and our deeds and how we talk, and even our tone, for the matter. Not that that's what we're talking about here. But curse not the ruler of thy people. So that means we were to respect those in authority. Again, many people are dead today because they never learned how to honor their father and their mother, so they don't respect anybody in any type of authority, including law enforcement, and they are just people. They could have a bad day, and you end up, you know, the devil will make sure you catch them on a bad day, and all you had to do is say, good morning, officer, how you doing? You might be the first one that was kind to me. He's probably going to let you off just because of your kindness, but no. He said, man, why are you stopping me, man? Y'all just pigs, and we just say all kind of things, and get ourselves into trouble. Watch out, friends, what's promoted on TV. You know, people started, as soon as people saw a black man be unfairly treated, it was like all black people, not all, but many black people thought, or people of color thought, that was carte blanche, that they should just disregard and disrespect every police officer they saw. And many lives have been lost as a result of that. And then the media picks it up as more police brutality. And I'm not trying to say it wasn't in some cases, but in some cases I can tell you it wasn't that way. But the media spin on it. And, you know, I remember, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, so I remember this one. The guy's name was Michael Brown. You all remember that? Michael Brown. He had just strong-armed robbed a store. They had the footage of that. He just said, I'm taking this, and what you going to do about it? And this owner came toward him. He came toward the owner. The owner ran. I mean, the guy was six. maybe 16 years old, but the guy was 6'5", almost 300 pounds. What's somebody going to do about that, you know? Walking down the street mad, and police tell him to get out of the street because he's supposed to be on the sidewalk. He's yelling and cursing at the police officer. And nobody tells the story about how he was wrestling, and even other witnesses, he was wrestling to get the police's gun out of his holster while the police was sitting in the car. So in other words, the police was at a disadvantage because he's sitting in his car and this guy's up over him wrestling his, trying to wrestle the gun out of his hand. See, they don't talk about that. But then when he gets shot, they talk about that. Now, I'm not saying that I wasn't there. I know that the witnesses say he was definitely trying to beat up the police and get his gun. That's what the witnesses say. So did he put up his hands and then he was shot? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But the point I'm making is that we have to understand that if we had followed these principles of just thou shalt not revile the gods or revile God, nor curse the ruler of thy people, the principle, don't be disrespectful to those who are in authority. A lot of lives will be still saved today, brothers and sisters. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt give unto me. Friends, the best of what we have belongs to God. When God blesses us in some way, we should be quick. And Lord, I'm dedicating this to you. Whatever that means, if you were supposed to pay your tithe first, an offering. We're supposed to pay our tithe, I should say, an offering first. But you might get some blessing dedicated to the Lord. It's not always has to be given to the church, but you dedicate those things to the Lord. That's what they did. Likewise, thou shalt do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with thee, with his dam. On the eighth thou shalt give it unto me. Ye shall be a holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. So, again, God allowed them to eat meat. They weren't really called so much to vegetarianism at that time, although he did provide manna. But in that case, if an animal was torn, and I'll tell you why. From a physiologic point of view, an animal that is under stress emits certain toxins in its blood that are part of the fight or flight mechanism, and it makes the flesh more toxic. So when that animal was torn, that means it was fighting and it was bloody and all, you know, whatever. You don't know what kind of infections and what kind of toxins the blood emitted because of that. And it's just not of flesh to eat. That's not the best. So friends, a lot of the animals in these slaughterhouses, I mean, you know, they're all under stress, and that same circumstance is in a lot of us are eating the flesh of dead animals, animals that were under stress when they were killed, and their flesh is much more toxic. Friends, we've just shown how wonderful God is and how merciful and how smart. We see these wonderful principles. If we could just live by these principles, man, life would be so nice. You know, again, friends, marriage counsel 101, or just counsel on how to get along with people. Two words, by the grace of God, two words, be nice. I tell you, it works. It works in my home. I believe it'll work in your home too. Be nice. Can't be nice without God's help, friends. So, but you can be with God's help. So thank you for joining us for worship today. We're going to transition to wellness with the torso song at this time. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful teachings. Help us to live our lives more holy, more righteous, more kind to others. Help us, Lord, to understand that we must be like Jesus in order to get into heaven. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it's time now for us to transition. We have the torso song at this time. There's a one of a kind
place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get
married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. God bless you all. Before we move forward, I just want to say that we did have our first class, and for those who could not, because it was a well-attended class, and there was a cap of 100 people, there were more than that, so some missed it. That class was free, so it will be posted on our website. So if you like the information, I think some of you all were on there, you can refer people to that, even just to get the information, okay? So go to torso.org. It will be up today, sometime this morning, by God's grace, and there'll be a link. They can watch the video. At this time, we're going to hear from Sister Lenny, and she's going to be sharing on the subject, It's Flavor. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Monday. By blending a variety of fruits and vegetables in enticing combinations, juice recipes will make your healthy diet a pleasure. Nothing compares to a freshly made juice extracted from ripe plants in your own kitchen. Fruits are the original dessert. It's in our DNA to crave their natural sweetness. Long before chemists started tempting us with high fructose corn syrup and other artificial flavors, people refreshed themselves with juicy, fresh fruits. The sweet taste in fruit entices us, and when we consume them, their healthfulness rewards us, unlike bottled sodas. Ditch fruit-flavored drinks. Make your drinks from the real deal and juice the fruits themselves. Our palates crave the unique balance of sweet and tart that really good fruits provide, and we can play with that when we make our own juices. The sweetness of the fruit is a perfect way to balance strong flavors, from hearty vegetables too. You'll see when you try recipes that a few apples make a green juice delectable, and the intoxicating sweetness of honeydew blended with collard greens creates a flavorful harmony. The world is your juice bar. All the beautiful fruits and vegetables that you can imagine can be made into delectable drinks. Watermelons, mangoes, and pomegranates are the bright colors on your palate as you compose show-stopping sippables. Spinach, chilies, carrots, and kale are no longer side dishes. They are part of a symphony of flavors. Once you balance your veggies with a healthy apple, pear, and honeydew, even picky kids will love the juice. Fresh, unique juices and blends are so superior to bottled juices that they can be served at any time. This morning, I would like to share a juice drink with you, and that juice drink is called Green Sweetie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is 4 cups of packed spinach, 2 kiwis peeled, 2 cups of honeydew cubes, and 1 cup of green grapes. If you want a green juice with a decadent flavor, try this fruity one. Kiwi and melon sweeten and mellow the leafy flavors, and they add antioxidants and vitamin C. Spinach is the mildest of the greens, but it is still packed with plenty of green nutrition. Thank you so much. This morning, this reading is coming from Juice It, page 13 to 14. May God bless you today as you journey on to better health. God bless you and thank you.
Amen. Green Sweetie sounds like a clean treaty. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, the phone lines are open. Let's start with roll call. We start with Facebook. We've got Virginia on the line. We've got Georgia on the line. We've got South Carolina on the line. We've got North Carolina. We have the country of Greece, and we have Virginia again. On the phone, we have Ohio. We've got Maryland. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. Nice to have somebody else in Pennsylvania. Praise God. All right. We have Maryland again. We have Delaware again. And we have New Jersey. Phone lines are open. Just press *6 if anyone has anything you'd like to share. We'll start with Facebook. And we have a good morning to all from Sister Vicky. We have from Brother Peyton a good morning. And that's what we have at this time. If there's anyone else that would like to share anything, type it on Facebook. Put it on, just press *6 on the call. Want to mention to you that there is still time to register for this class. And if you want to know the caliber of material that God has given to us to share with you, you can go to torso.org and just scroll down. You will see the Fundamental Principles of Wellness video, okay? It's a video that we have, and it will share with you the torso flow chart system that God has given to us to teach the medical missionary work in a fraction of the time with a fraction of the cost. That first lesson is free. It is followed by 12 lessons, each lesson covering the system, a system of the body, okay? You'll receive a certification as a holistic wellness coach. That's the same as a biblical wellness coach. Our foundation, our system of healing is biblical wellness, also referred to as holistic wellness with a W, okay? It's not the holistic of the world that includes new age modalities and spiritualistic healing. Ours is strictly biblical, holistic, as in, wilt thou be made whole? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So, friends, you can. And we have, when you go to the website, you'll see if you scroll down a register button that'll take you to our ministry partner, New Hope Mission, and their creators, our X website. They're coordinating things with us and for us. And so they have the sign up form and helping keep things organized there. And so you just register by putting your contact information in. We will be sending you a, to registered students, we will send you before the next class, that is our goal, the textbook. It will be approximately, give or take, 400 pages in length, and it is full of wonderful information, information that you won't get anywhere else, brothers and sisters. So we want to encourage you, if you missed the class, just go ahead and watch the video, then you will have taken the class we had yesterday. We'd like everybody to sign up by the 15th. Now, there are four options payment options on their website, okay? The total cost of the program for the certification program is $650, and that's less than half of what it will be in the future, okay? This is going to actually be an online course, so we're just teaching it live. But when it's online, people have the, you know, flexibility to go in at 2 in the morning and take a lesson or, you know, finish something. That's not going to happen. You have to be on Sundays when we have the scheduled Sundays to do the class here, but you get the benefit of a live teacher as well. So it's $650. If you want to take this class and you can't fit into any of the four payment programs that are already posted, let me know, okay? If we can work with you, we will. Some people, because it's $650, so $650 times one payment is $650. $650, two payments is $325. Four payments is, I think, $217, something like that. And four payments is $162.50. If you can't afford that and you need some additional time, but you are interested in this class and you want to participate and you want to get this information, we will do all we can to help you. So just contact me about that as soon as possible, friends, and we'll try to work some things out. We are trying to get people trained. We're trying to help people get into the field of medical missionary work because that is the work that will help finish this work, my friends. And so, Sister Lenny, did you have anything you wanted to share before we have Sister Maria have our closing prayer?
No, I just want, if for some reason I may have read the information about the drink fast, you know, if someone would contact me, I would be glad to send it to them.
Oh, okay, sure,
okay.
Sure.
Absolutely. The recipe, I'll send to them.
All right. Do you want what should they do to contact you? What method should they use?
They can call me 302-588-0102. 302-588-0102.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Mm-hmm. It's time for our closing prayer at this time. My wife on Dream Dove will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father, we thank you for this time of worship, and we thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to open up your word this morning. Thank you for your spirit, for helping us, teaching us, and guiding us. We pray that you would bless everyone in a special way as we do service unto you on this day. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is, I Will Trust in the Lord. Trust Him today, my friend.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will sing. Lord, be